And welcome once again to another edition of A Plain Answer here at Redeemer Broadcasting. I'm Dan Elmendorf. On the phone line with us today is Dr. John Vance. Pastor Vance, it's an honor to have you back with us.
It's my pleasure and privilege, Dan, truly.
I look back over the years and being under your influence, which was very healthy for me personally, and there was kind of a theme that would come out, or multiple themes, and one of those themes that helped me so very much was, I guess the general term is Catholicity, and how important that is. So I'm just going to drop that on you and let you take it from there and run with it. Why is Catholicity so important in the Christian life, Pastor Vance?
Well, it is. The word Catholic does not appear in the Bible, but it appears shortly afterwards in the church. And Ignatius of Antioch was an early Christian martyr. I don't know exact dates for him, but it goes back. He knew the apostles, and I think he was born maybe 35 or 40 A.D., so he would have known the early church. And he is really the first to use the word Catholic, and it was probably used in a letter to Antioch, and about 112. So, you know, that is very close to, he knew Polycarp, who knew the apostles, and so forth, but he was being taken to Rome to be executed and martyred, and he was a martyr, and he wrote to that church that he was writing to in Antioch, and he said something that is important, and the Protestant reformers picked up on this too. He says, "Where ever the bishop appears, there let the people be." Now he uses that. Wherever the bishops are, meaning wherever your pastors gather, let the people be there for worship and to be taught and so forth. But he goes on in the second half, and he says, wherever Jesus Christ is, there is the Catholic Church, meaning that Jesus is the head of the church, and wherever he is and the gospel is preached, there is the true church or Catholic Church. The question is, what does that word Catholic mean? Well, he was probably thinking of the passage of Scripture that what is called the pleroma, or the fullness of Jesus. There's a passage in Colossians about Jesus being the fullness. And then, of course, the prologue to John. And so it meant that wherever Jesus was and his presence as the head of the church, there is the fullness of the church. Now, this also means universal. The word Catholic, as many words can mean more than just one thing, but the word Catholic means also correct or universal. It means validly correct, and so forth. It describes the nature of the church, that where Christ is, he fills all in all. And that where he is, there is the fullness of the church. And it's not just simply local, but worldwide.
Yeah.
Wherever Christians come to truly believe the gospel and worship the Lord Jesus Christ and serve under him, that's the Catholic Church. As opposed to, and this is important, to the non-Catholic. What is a non-Catholic? Well, those were heretical churches. So the Greek Orthodox and Russian Orthodox, those Orthodox churches, call themselves Orthodox, which means correct. Like, you know, we go to an orthodontist, get your teeth straightened out. Well, Orthodox means to be correct or to be straight. And so there are churches that are Orthodox or correct, and those that are call themselves churches that are not, but there are no churches. So there's only really one church, and that is the Catholic Church. And all of those who truly follow Christ and obey the gospel and the Great Commission are Catholics. And you see this more and more in the ministry of St. Augustine when he dealt with the Donatists, but I can talk about that a little later. But going to let you get in here.
I always think about radio and somebody just tuning in. And so the soundbite they got just now is John Vance says Catholic is the true faith. And it is, but you mean something by that. So for those that just tuned in, explain again what you mean.
Well, a Catholic with a small c means the correct or universal church that all Christians belong to who come to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and preach the gospel and obey the gospel. And this is the scripture.
Yeah.
So it is biblical Christianity is essentially what it is.
And there is the three, I think it's three, great areas of Christendom today. You've got the Protestant Christianity, you've got Roman Catholic Christianity, and you have the Orthodox Church that you just mentioned. And there's a lot of overlap between these areas. Can you speak to the overlap for just one minute here?
Yes, all three share the gospel and believe in the gospel. We disagree on how the church should be governed. We disagree on some doctrines that are Protestants truly consider secondary or not actually biblical. But the essence and core of Catholicism, the Catholic Church or Universal Church or the true church, is what Jesus Christ has done for us. Let me just quote, "He came into the world to seek and to save the lost. And he's done something for us that we could not do for ourselves. He paid the price for our salvation."
Mm.
And this is to be preached into all the world. So the major themes that concern Christ, his birth, his life, and his death, and his resurrection form the core of the Catholic Church. That's its teaching. And that's the way we worship, and that's the way we live.
Yeah.
It includes doctrine, life, and worship. All those elements, and the big element thing is that you have to worship God through Christ.
Yeah, and I think you shared some other time with me that how important these little things like the Apostles' Creed is, because we have that in common in these three areas, don't we?
We do, but particularly in the West, the Apostles' Creed is important for Catholics and Protestants. We share the same faith. Same beliefs in that creed.
Yeah.
The Nicene Creed, or the Creed of 325 that was more developed at Chalcedon, is called the Nicene Creed. That is truly shared by all three. It's even more basic to our faith in one sense than the Apostles' Creed, because the Greeks and the Roman, the Russians don't use the Apostles' Creed too much, though they support it, but we all three use the Nicene Creed.
It's neat.
And the Nicene Creed is the creed that I used to use in the liturgy at Westminster on every time we took communion, because it meant that we three churches were in communion.
That's right.
On a basic level.
Yeah, it's true. Well, today we're talking with Pastor John Vance, and he used to be my pastor, and he's still a great influencer in my life, because he's helped me understand things so much, and he's also a board member here at Redeemer Broadcasting, and he comes with a lot of experience and wisdom, and we value his input. We're talking today about Catholicity, big word, and trying to understand it a little bit better. No time like the present, I guess. Pastor Vance, the other day I was talking with a fellow believer. He's also a pastor. He's in within the Protestant tradition, and specifically down from there, he's within the Continental Reformed tradition. And you and I are in the Westminster tradition, I guess you could say, of the Reformed. He's Continental. And this brother just is so sweet. He has a heart for evangelism. Not many of us do enough on that front, I feel, but he's out there sometimes on the streets doing evangelism. And I brought up towards the end of our conversation the idea of Catholicity and just let him talk. And he says, it's something that really, I'm just paraphrasing, really has burdened him because in his tradition, and then he went down a list. He says, we got Christian Reformed, Protestant Reformed Church, United Reformed Churches, Canadian Reformed Church, Free Reformed Church, Heritage Reformed Church. And he says, and they all subscribe to the three forms of unity. Then he says, and they don't talk to each other.
Oh, my land.
That was major. And he says, I think that's scandalous. I think that's scandalous, he says. And then, as an evangelist, he says, I think the world sees it as well. He does a lot of evangelism out on the streets, and he says, I hear all the time people say, you Christians can't even agree amongst yourselves.
Oh, yes.
And so that was a little input there from our very good friend, Paul Murphy of New York City. So your thoughts on that little interchange?
Well, bless him for having a big heart, so to speak. And,
yeah.
and so that's important.
Yep.
Let me say two or three things on that. These churches that he mentioned fail to make a distinction between what theologians make a distinction between the essence of the church or the SA, the essence of the church, what it really is. And the essence of the church is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's under Christ as the great head and king of the church. The Ben SA means the perfection of the church.
Hmm.
Now, I belong to expression, and you belong to an expression of Christianity. What we share is the basic faith with Roman Catholics, with Eastern Orthodox,
yeah.
Even with some Oriental churches in the East. We share the same faith. We worship the same Lord.
Right, right.
We try to strive to live the same lifestyle that's described in the Bible. We worship him in sincerity and in truth, God through Christ. Now, that's the essential, the essence of the church. The Ben SA is the perfection of the church, and I think my expression of Christianity is the best expression of Christianity. If I didn't, I would change to what I thought was the best expression
Correct,
of Christianity.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. But I don't confuse that with... by saying that other people who had the gospel and worship Christ, for instance, Roman Catholics, I hear some Protestants say, well, they're just false. Well, they're misjudging what is essential. Charles Spurgeon used to talk about what he said one time. I read in one of his works on the letters to preachers or advice to preachers. I forget what it was because I read it 40 years ago. But he says he wanted his young preachers in his institute, his Bible institute there, to make a distinction between the cardinal and secondary doctrines of the faith.
Right.
We share the cardinal doctrines of the faith very broadly. The secondary doctrines over the mode of baptism, for instance, or
right.
Over how many times you take communion, or who how the government of the church is, though I think it's important, don't get me wrong. But that's not the gospel. Is that we share the cardinal, those things that God has revealed himself in Christ to be. And so failure to make those distinctions cuts off Christian fellowship.
Yes.
I'll tell you one thing. I know I'm dominating this conversation.
No, please
do. Let me tell you one thing about the mission field. Augustine points out that the Great Commission is part of the Catholic Church. You carry out the Great Commission, all nations, because the Catholic Church is important. But the people who get this the best historically have been missionaries on the mission field, where
yes.
They're in a system where they may be in a country where another religion that is false, or an extreme communist country that denies God, and they have to show unity to get along, and
yes.
They share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they begin to understand what the true church is and its unity almost better than anyone. So that's where Catholicity is truly practiced.
That's
on
right.
The mission field often.
They get a very practical lesson in what's important and what isn't quite so important. And some things that are not so important are not worth dividing over.
No.
And we have so much in common. You know, I've seen it with our Roman Catholic friends when it comes to politics, for example. There are some guys that I really like. They're Roman Catholic, and they're doing a phenomenal job in the area of understanding a constitutional republic, bringing biblical values into the public sphere, having morality in the way that we do things. And I have no desire to knock these good people over lesser items. And I feel very much part of them. You know, I really appreciate what they're doing.
Well, what should not divide us is, let's take the Roman Catholic Church. Protestants, Roman Catholic, this is a country basically of Protestants and Roman Catholics when it comes to Christianity.
Sure.
I don't believe that the Pope is infallible when he speaks ex cathedra from the chair. But that doesn't have anything to do with one's salvation when it comes to whether a Roman Catholic believer believes that the Pope is infallible when he speaks on faith and practice. But it's important to make distinctions like that. But they believe that Jesus died for our sins on the cross and was raised the third day for our salvation. That we, and as he lives, so shall we, and we will. And he comes to judge at the end of the world, so to speak. Mm. We believe all those things together, and yet we divide over whether the Pope is infallible under certain conditions. And the Pope has only used that twice, by the way, in human history, that authority. And it makes no sense whatsoever to divide our basic fellowship over those kinds of things.
Yeah, right.
I would add this. A lot of Protestants say, well, if Catholic means universal, then we should use the word universal rather than Catholic. And I had an elder in a church, in a congregational church in Illinois, that where I first student pastored, that he and the board had changed the creed to one universal church when we used the creed. And yep. It bothered me at the time, but through the years, I learned that really Catholic is a better term, because it's not just referring to the universal church, but it's referring also to things like the gospel. It has to be part of the Catholic Church.
Yeah,
it's referring to the ministry. We have to go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's referring to the church being apostolic. Now, that's an interesting term, because in the Nicene Creed, it says we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Well, what does apostolic mean? It means that we believe the teaching of the apostles that found in Scripture. You know, these apostles wrote the Scriptures, and Jesus' disciples, and it's the Word of God. And the apostolic church means I love the Scriptures and love the Bible and its teaching. And it also means that we have a continuity with each generation.
Mm.
That means is that the church that I'm in today is the same church that Ignatius of Antioch was in the second century.
Right.
It means, too, that those who've gone on before us, see, Catholic is not just universal, it also means the depth of the church. You know, the saints that have gone on before, they're still part of the church. The whole family of the church really is the whole family of God in heaven and on earth, and we're members, citizens of heaven as well. So it's a deep and broad concept that the word universal cannot really capture.
Yeah, all good points. Oh, yes. Today we're talking about Catholicity, that great big word, and sometimes can be confusing. I like, too, what this other pastor told us, this Paul Murphy chap. His concern, his heart for the people, when he does this evangelism on the streets and he hears the people say, "You Christians can't even agree amongst yourselves," and by that our friend on the street has a valid complaint, and to him, it shows that Christianity is not true. Any comments on that?
Well, yes, a phrase comes to mind. If you don't hang together, you'll hang separately.
It's true.
Christians better hang together in this society. We face demonic powers and forces around the world, and what is going on. We face an extremely persistent secular culture that can't even, will not admit that there's a difference between men and women and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The truth is we must hang together as Christians who believe in Christ, or we'll hang separately. We'll be defeated.
That's right.
And I know this is not what Christ wants, because he talks about the unity of the church, and we have a basic unity that we share throughout the world with everyone who calls upon the name of Christ.
Mm. Mm.
So wasn't it Paul who said, some of them came to him, I'm confused here now a little bit, and said, you know, they're not preaching the gospel like us, quote. And he says, well, essentially, I'm, this is vague now. I'm terribly embarrassed to admit that I can't recall.
No, you're being honest.
But he says, essentially, if they don't oppose Christ, leave them alone.
Yeah, that's basically it. You know, Christ is preached, and in that I will rejoice, etc. Sometimes we get contacted by listeners many times, and I won't reveal anything here, but just say that sometimes a listener is troubled, very troubled. And I saw a tendency towards that in one of the notes where somebody contacted us, and they were having sincere trouble with thinking about God and how that God sometimes judges people. You know, there was a flood. There was other things like that. And then in their own personal life, he hasn't seen, like, maybe he gave some money to the church or whatever, and he hasn't seen anything come of it. I think, and I include myself here, I think we tend to think about God in our own terms too much, and we miss an important aspect of him. And I think R.C. Sproul gets this when he talks about the holiness of God. We somehow can't really grasp, you know, we're human, but we need to grasp it more, that God is 100% holy, absolutely holy. And no matter what I do, it's never going to be enough. I need that holy God doing for me what I can't do for myself. And I think that has to do with evangelism and people misreading who God is. I know I got off base a little bit there in terms of what we're talking about, but any comments about people who perceive God one way, and really they're not understanding who he really is?
I would say two things to that. One, an illustration that happened to me. I was in New York, Westminster, and I was down getting the mail by the main road. And a fellow came by who was attending the church occasionally, and he stopped real quick his truck and ran out and handed me $100 for the church and says, I need a blessing. And he thought if I gave $100 to the church this would get him a blessing.
Yep.
It is blessed to give, no question, but it's the joy of sharing. And he was looking, though, for something else, like maybe $1 million, I don't know. That was his, he was misinformed. Now, it doesn't mean he's not a Christian, just like many people have misunderstandings. But what he was misunderstanding, in my opinion, is not so much God, but he was misunderstanding what it means to be human and human nature. We are sinners, and God does judge us in this world,
it's
and we
true.
Share in that judgment.
Yeah.
And Jesus himself came into our world and took our pain and our suffering and our judgment. It's interesting. This really bumps up against the problem of pain, or why is there evil and
right.
killing and murder in the world? And it's a tough question for anybody. I don't care whether you're Christian, non-Christian, whatever. It's a matter of justice, and it goes to the very heart of our understanding that there that why do well the rabbi's book, what was it, why do good people suffer or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
But it's a failure to understand that while I can't answer all of those questions, and I don't know of anyone that can, believe me, I've searched to find a definitive answer on that, and I haven't found none that satisfies. But I will say this, that the God who made us all came to our earth, took upon himself human flesh, and stood on our side of the great divide, and took our pain and our judgment. And it'll be all sorted out in heaven. But I do know this, that he stands with us in our pain and our suffering and our misunderstanding in the person of Jesus Christ. And this is the Catholic faith.
Amen.
That he came into the world to seek and to save the lost. And that and as he's been raised from the dead to new life, so will be. And we'll understand a lot more in that day, because currently, as Paul says, we look through a glass darkly.
Amen. And that is a perfect summary. Today we've been talking with our dear friend, Pastor John Vance. And any questions, feel free to email us at the ministry. It's our email address is ministry@redeemerbroadcasting.org. I can forward your comments to Pastor Vance as well. We're out of time. Pastor Vance, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Dear listener, please join us next week for another edition of A Plain Answer.